Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.
Subject: Spoken Arabic 1. Book: Modern Standard Arabic. Teacher: Sheikh Hamza Sheikh Tabar. Lesson number 3.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. And may greatest peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters, great students of seminary. Thank God we have, during previous two sessions, we have succeeded to be aware and get knowledge about the basis and general elements and general characteristics of Arabic language and modern standard Arabic. We have talked about some general points, and we introduced the modern standard Arabic as a very popular language in the world. Also, we have started learning about Arabic alphabet, which was called in Arabic al-huruf al-abjadiyya. We introduced all of the characters, their names, their sounds, and finally, at the end of the second session, we have come to talk about some signs which represent short vowels. We said that although long vowels in Arabic, they are denoted and shown through three characters which represent long vowels, we do not have any specific character in Arabic showing short vowel. Therefore, there are some signs which represent these short vowels. I would like to mention the Arabic equivalent of these signs. I mean, in Arabic, these signs are called al-harakat. Al-harakat. It means that each of these signs is called haraka. Haraka. Al-haraka means a sign. For example, fatha that we have introduced in previous session, or kasra, which also was introduced in previous session, all are called al-harakat. Harakatu fatha, harakatu kasra. And today we are going to continue talking about these harakat, about these signs. The third haraka and sign that is necessary to learn is dhamma. Dhamma. Dhamma is the third haraka and sign in Arabic which represent a short vowel. And that short vowel would be O. You remember the short vowel that was represented by Fatha was A, like fat in English or pat in English. And we also made some examples for that. For example, Nahnu. Nahnu. The first, the initial sign, the initial haraka is nahnu. Na, the a vowel, is the same vowel that is represented by fatha. Also, we made an example for kasra. We mentioned milal, milal, and we mentioned that milal, which means nations, the initial sign, which is under and below the initial character, below the character meme, there is a haraka named kasra, and the short vowel was a milal, milal. And we mentioned that if fatha is followed by character alif, it turns to a long vowel. For example, we said that talab, which means to want something, talab, the initial character is ta, and the initial sign is fatha, which is a. But if you add an alif to the first character and you turn it to talib, so the vowel would be longer, not the short anymore. Instead of talib, you turn it to a long vowel. Talib, talib. Also, we mentioned that if kasra is followed by ya character, the short vowel would turn to long vowel. Instead of saying milal, which has a short vowel at the beginning, another example which has a long vowel is kabir, kabir. So ba, the second character, has kasra. This is the sign. But since the sign is followed by ya, kabir, so the short vowel turns to long vowel. This is what we mentioned before. Now about dhamma. About dhamma also, we would say the same. Look at the example. If you have only dhamma, the short vowel would be O. For example, mudun, mudun. Mudun, interestingly, is the plural form of the noun Medina. Do you remember in one of the sessions before, we brought Medina as one of the examples? We mentioned that Medina means city, yes. So mudun is the plural form of Medina. So mudun would mean cities. Now the initial character of this word, mudun, and also the second character, dal. The first was meme, the second character is dal. I hope that all of the students would practice these characters and signs out of the classes, because as I mentioned before, it requires a very hard practice not to forget all what we have learned. So the first character, mim, the second character, dal. The first and the second both have dhamma as a sign. Mudun, mudun, both have dhamma. Now, the same as the rule that we have mentioned about fatha, about kasra, that if they are followed by alif or by ya, the short vowel would turn to long vowel, the same ruling would be applied about dhamma. If dhamma is followed by waw, do you remember waw character? If dhamma is followed by waw, the short vowel o would turn to long vowel u. For example, Noon. Do you remember Noon is one of the name of one of the characters? The third character of Mudun itself. So what was the name of this character? Noon. The same, the word Noon itself, it has the first character at the beginning, Noon, Dhamma as a sign, and Dhamma is followed by Waw. So instead of Noon, you turn it to long vowel, Noon. So this is the function of Dhamma as the third sign. So harakatu fatha, harakatu kasra, harakatu dhamma. All of these are signs. Let's go to fourth sign. There's another sign in Arabic named sukun. It would be very helpful when you watch these series and the classes and my teaching, it would be very helpful to repeat. And I try my best to repeat the words and say the words one by one without any speed in order to enable you and give you the opportunity to repeat in your house. So, sukun, sukun, sukun is the fourth sign in Arabic. What is sukun? Sukun is a sign that is a small circle. It's very good to, before explaining about the shape of sukun, I forgot to talk about and explain about the shape of dhamma. As you might have watched in the picture, that dhamma is written like a minimized waw. Do you remember waw? How was it written? So if you minimize it and make it smaller, that would become dhamma. So dhamma is a minimized waw. But sukun is a very small circle. If you can say a minimized zero, but not English zero, the zero that like a little bigger than a dot. A very small circle. Like dhamma, and also like fatha, sukun is also placed on the top of the character. Unlike kasra, because we mentioned that kasra is placed below the character. So fatha, dhamma, and sukun, all of them are placed on the top of the character. Look at the example. Again, the example of nahnu. Nahnu. Nahnu means we. It is one of the pronouns. We. Like we are. We, in Arabic, the equivalent of we is nahnu. 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 The second character, which is ha. Do you remember? Ha. The second character has a sukun on top. And sukun means that no vowel. Not the long nor the short. But you stop. Whenever you have sukun in Arabic, it means you stop. Nahnu. Nahnu, you stop. Not any vowel. So, the small circle, which is placed on the top of the letter and represent for no vowel, But for stopping pronouncing, that would be named and called sukoon. And also sukoon shows that the consonant is followed by no vowel. Consonant is followed by no vowel, as I mentioned several times. Till now, we had four signs. Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma, and Sukun. The other sign is Shadda. Shadda. Shadda is a sign that shows that the consonant is doubled. Repeated. The sign that shows the consonant is doubled. For example, the word Mu'allim. 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 I'm talking about the third consonant. Look at the third character, Lam. This is the third character of word Mu'allim. Lam. The character Lam on top has a sign. And as you see, the sign looks like a very small sin. Do you remember sin was one of our characters? Like school in English. And the way that sin was written, if you minimize it and make it smaller, it looks like shadda. So shadda is written like a minimized sin, and shows that the consonant is doubled. It means that you have to pronounce the consonant much more stronger. Mu'allim. For understanding better, if you omit shadda out of lam, the word becomes without any shadda. Okay? If you want to pronounce it now without shadda, it will be pronounced like mu'alim, mu'alim, mu'alim. But when you add shadda, it turns to mu'allim, mu'allim. You emphasize and you make it much stronger and you double the pronunciation of the consonant, which is lam in this example. What does mu'allim mean? Mu'allim means teacher. Mu'allim means teacher. Okay. Now, till now, we have learned about fatha, kasra, dhamma, sukun, and shadda. One point about shadda must be added. Fatha and Dhamma are written on top of Shadda. As you know, Shadda and Sukoon could not be gathered together in one consonant. It is contradictory. It is paradox to bring both Shadda and Sukoon. It's impossible. But when you bring shadda, you need another sign for continuing the practice, the pronouncing. Why? For example, in word mu'allim, if you pronounce shadda on the top of lam, but you do not continue, it would be mu'all without continuing. Therefore, you need another sign to continue the consonant. What is the sign here in this example? Kasra. Mu'allim. Mu'allim. This is the sign. So, sometimes in some words, the sign that follows the shadda would be fatha or dhamma. Now the question arises, when we need shadda and another sign, which is kasra, fatha, or dhamma, how would we write dhamma, kasra, or fatha along with shadda? How would we write it? The answer is written on the top of, as I mentioned. Fatha and dhamma, they are written on the top of shadda. So you have consonant, shadda, fatha or dhamma. What about kasra? Like mu'allim. If we have a kasra and we want to write it along with shadda, how would we write it? How should we write it? The answer, you are free whether to put kasra below shadda on the top of letter or to bring the kasra below the consonant. I repeat it. When you have kasra along with shadda, like mu'allim, mu'allim, you have kasra and you have shadda. For the same consonant, for lam, how should you write it? The answer is you are free. Whether to put kasra below shadda, but on the top of the letter. So the shape would be like this. Consonant, kasra, shadda. This is one way, mu'allim. The other way is to write kasra below the consonant itself. So the order would be like this. Kasra, consonant, shadda. Mu'allim. Both ways are correct. So you are free to choose. Let me give you some examples for having fatha along with shadda or having dhamma along with shadda. For dhamma, look at the word taqaddum. Taqaddum. I'm talking about the third consonant, dal. Dal in taqaddum has both shadda and dhamma. It means improvement. Taqaddum means improvement, progress. Now, based on the ruling that I mentioned about how to write shadda and dhamma together, you might know that taqaddum, dal in taqaddum, has two signs, shadda and dhamma. How should we write it? Dal, shadda, dhamma. This is about the first example. Another example, having shadda and fatha together. Shubbak, shubbak, shubbak. How should we write it? The letter and consonant that has shadda is the second one. Ba, ba. The character ba, shubbak. Ba has both shadda and fatha. How should you write it? Ba, shadda, fatha. So this is the order. Remember the previous ruling about fatha that I explained before, in previous session. The same word in the same word, shabak, which means window. Shabak means window. Do you remember we have mentioned that whenever fatha is followed by alif, the short vowel would turn to long vowel, like shabak. 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 This is the long vowel. These are all about the signs, about harakat. So we have talked about kasra, fatha, dhamma, sukoon, and shadda. The last sign that I'm going to talk about in this session is madda. Madda. If you open the holy book, you would face a lot of these maddas and shaddas and fathas and kasras and dhammas and sukuns. As I mentioned, and I repeat it again, a very perfect way to practice letters, both consonants and vowels, and signs, harakat, is to read Quran. Of course, now you are not able to read Quran fluently, but you are able now, after learning these characters, signs, to recognize. You can open the first page of Holy Book and put your hand, this is alif, to identify. This is ba, this is shadda, that is kasra, this is dhamma, this is sukoon. This is a very perfect way to practice, whether alone or with your partner in discussion. It is a very perfect way that would internalize whatever you have learned during these sessions about characters and signs. The reason why I emphasize several times on practicing these, because these are the basis of Arabic. And if you learn them fluently, you will be able to pass the next stages and the next steps very easily and much better. So this session we have talked about the rest of these signs. We've talked about dhamma, about shadda, and about madda. Inshallah, we will continue other elements of how to write Arabic and how to read in the next session. Thank you very much for accompanying us. See you next time. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.